Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my goodness!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Thursday, September 27th. Let's cock a doodle do it. Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, week four kicks off tonight as we are all going back to Cali. How you doing?
Doing good. We got you ready on rotoexperts.com. I would like to inform you that in the last 2 weeks on fantasypros.com, we have had two top five rankers for lineup rankings. In week two, Brandon Murchison was number four overall on Fantasy Pros, and last week I was number five, and both of us have available lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com right now.
Absolutely. You got to go and get that Roto Experts in-season exclusive Edge fantasy package. Use the promo code THEKING at checkout. Scotty, out of those in the Fantasy Pros rankings, right? Like, okay, Murchison was number four 1 week, you were number five 1 week. How many are there? Because, like, if you're four out of, you know, six, that's not impressive. But if you're four out of 100, that's really impressive. How many are we talking?
Well, you think it was 10 people. You think I'd be bragging?
No, I just want to know how many we're talking about.
I think we're talking about at least 150.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, there you go. So we're talking about the top 5 percentile. All right, that's what we're talking about here. So if you want to win your leagues and win that cash, get those rankings over at rotoexperts.com. We're going to be looking at Scott's Week 4 rankings a little bit later on in the show. We're going to get you ready for Thursday night football. We got what many people thought could have been an NFC Championship game preview. The Rams, though, are running away and hiding with at least the NFC West, I would say. The Rams are 7-point favorites. We'll give our predictions a little bit later on in the show. Scotty, my prediction for this game might be one of the three that I give out in our contest. I'll have to see if I decide on that later on. If anybody wants to join the show, you could also call the number at 844-843-6879. Scotty, news and notes, things that kind of were on my radar. I want to get your take on it. First of all, Rex Burkhead goes to IR, okay, with that neck injury. He goes to IR. I was excited about this. I put it up on social media because, as you know, Scott, for the last couple of weeks, I have been touting the ascension, the emergence of Sony Michel. I call him the stereotype, Scott, you know, because there's Sony and Panasonic and Mitsubishi. And I'm like, yo, why you got to talk to me about all these stereotypes? I'm not a guy who likes stereotypes, but I like Sony Michel, and I think this clears the way for his breakout. I don't know if it's going to be as much as this, but last year, remember how Alvin Kamara really broke out after the Saints traded away Adrian Peterson, clearing the path? I think that this Rex Burkhead injury clears the path for Sony Michel. Now, I'm not saying he's going to wind up being like RB6 overall, but I'm really excited that more opportunity can come to the stereotype.
Yeah, you know, I think when you throw the name Kamara out there, I see where you're going with it. You know, not that you're comparing him to Kamara,
because
he's not going to replace James White as the pass catching back, although Kamara did share touches with Mark Ingram last year. But, you know, he's versatile. I think, you know, unfortunately, this injury, you never like to see something like this, creates opportunity for Michel, whereas if Burkhead was still in the mix, it might be a little bit more clouded. But now he's set to be the lead running back. That said, we have to remember that this is still a pass-first offense. So I like Sony Michel more now as a potential RB2, but I don't think I'm going to, you know, go to the point where I'm going to put him in RB1 territory or top 12 just yet in my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com. It's kind of got to be earned, too. You know, they do like James White a lot. Michel has only played one game, so you know, I think you'll see more of the ascension gradually over the next few weeks than immediately.
Absolutely. You have him, Scotty, in week four, ranked as running back 22. So that is an RB2, a back-end RB2. You are comfortable with him. And absolutely, when I said that, I threw out the Kamara thing. Like I said, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 running back, right? But what I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time, Scott. You know, fantasy production is a function of two things, right? Your skill and your opportunity. Right. And so I think in the opportunity column, that's the part I'm really comparing. Right. How when Adrian Peterson got traded away, it increased the opportunity for the rookie Alvin Kamara last year. This year, unfortunately, it's an injury and IR to Rex Burkhead. I think that clears the way for much increased opportunity for Sony Michel. You like to, Scott, make the distinction between a timeshare and a committee. Right. I think this has just changed from a committee to a timeshare and a kind of standard one. Almost, you know, where Sony Michel is like the early down back, potentially the goal line back. Remember, Jeremy Hill is already still on IR for this team, and James White as the pass catching back. So I think it means both of them, to be quite honest, are viable as RB2s. I would actually have both of them as RB2s, and it looks like you do as well. You have James White as running back 15 and Sony Michel as running back 22. The one last thing I'll say,
yeah, that's fair. Okay. That's fair. Okay. What you say about opportunity, and, you know, you've also said it yourself, is, you know, we talk about New England, you know, remembering guys like Lawrence Maroney, opportunity doesn't always lead to production. But I don't think Michelle's going to turn out to be a Maroney.
I hope not, or a jabroni even. I hope not. And the last point that I'll make, and we've been talking about this also for the last couple of weeks, it is rare that the New England Patriots will have a two-game losing streak. And those were the only two times we've seen Sony Michel. And those were two times when they were down and losing and having a game script that is uncommon, to be quite honest, for the Patriots, right? If you think they get back on the good foot, the game flow, especially if you think James White is a passing back and Sony Michel is the early down back, you know, we expect game scripts usually to be in favor for Sony Michel towards the end of the game.
Yeah, they do have Miami this week, though. Yeah, and Miami is ranked 7th against the run, and they've given up like a lot of passing yards. So this might be a more rebound week for the passing game more than anything.
All right, so we will check that out. We'll give our picks on that game and others as we move along this week. Scotty, Alshon Jeffrey cleared for contact. How do you play this? Do you think he's going to trend to? We'll maybe have Dr. A on tomorrow, but. What do you think about Alshon? Is he going to be out there this week? And if so, is he someone that, like, you would start with confidence his first week back, whether it is this week or down the road? So I'm not asking you to play doctor. I'm asking you more on the fantasy side. Like, when we talk about pitchers coming off the DL, how we watch them in their first start, we said similar things about Carson Wentz last week. Might there be some rust? What does that mean for Alshon Jeffrey? He was cleared for contact. That's the news. If he plays this week, you run him out there right away?
He's very uncertain. I don't think we can go, you know, with the angle like if he plays this week. You know, it's okay. We can't prepare for that. We don't know. All the reports that I've read, you know, are not very confident that he'll return this week. So yeah. I'm preparing like if he doesn't return, and if he does, it's a bonus. Especially, you know, if I'm looking at a bye week or something like that,
right?
You know, maybe I'm without Devin Funchess, and then I have Alshon Jeffrey on my bench, and all of a sudden I hear he's active, and I don't have a better option on my bench. You know, I think it's rare, but you know, those instances do exist.
Yeah, you got Washington and Carolina on bye this week. So you mentioned a potential of Funchess on Washington. Maybe you have Jameson Crowder on bye. I don't know if he was starting him week to week either. But regardless, the fact that he's clear for contact, Scotty, is a step in the positive direction. Another wide receiver that has a step in the positive direction is your boy Doug Baldwin in Seattle. They said he got in a limited practice, trending in the right direction. He would be, again, we don't necessarily know, he would be, though, Scott, a godsend to the Seattle offense, right?
He certainly would. Pete Carroll very optimistic about him returning, and I don't think they're going to put him at risk. If he's not ready, he's not going to play, because you're talking about injuries in two knees, and this is kind of earlier than I would actually expect him back. So I'm more optimistic on Baldwin returning than Jeffrey. Patrick Peterson is no longer limited to one side of the field. He can travel around. You know, maybe he'll follow Doug Baldwin here, and you know that can open up things for Tyler Lockett and the rest of the offense, because when Baldwin is in there, he draws a lot of defensive attention, and that's what opens up the rest of the passing game.
All right. So we'll keep an eye out on that. It could help out. You mentioned Tyler Lockett. Could it also help out Brandon Marshall? Is Brandon Marshall in on two wide? Like, what's the roles there when Doug Baldwin comes back? When they go to two wide sets, is it Baldwin and Lockett, or is it Baldwin and Marshall?
They'll play a lot of three wide sets, but, for fantasy purposes, I don't even think Marshall is rosterable right now, because when he got the opportunity to step forward, he didn't do anything with it except drop passes. And, now he gets relegated back into pecking order. So it's really, when he has to hit a big play, he's going to go to Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was a big disappointment last year and the year before he got hurt. He told reporters that he was not healthy at all last year. He still felt like he was recovering from that broken leg. Now he's healthy, he's feeling better, and he scored in every game. So, Baldwin being in there really helps Lockett, face less defensive attention, I think, because defenses are to start to respect him more. So Brandon Marshall's not a factor.
All right, fair enough. You know who always faces a lot of defensive attention when he's in there? Larry Fitzgerald out there in Arizona, but he did not practice. Remember, he had that hamstring, okay? He went last week, but he's starting the week with a DNP. You think this is just managing the reps for the veteran, because the Rosen one probably needs Fitzy out there on Sunday to be his security blanket?
It's really hard to guess on this, not being able to practice. Yesterday, I can't give information when there isn't any. It's like I often tell people this on Twitter, do you expect Larry Fitzgerald to play? Well, I don't know. It's Thursday. We have to wait for practices today. If he doesn't practice today, I'm starting to get worried. If he don't practice tomorrow, I'm not using him this week. And the Seattle defense is a great stream this week. 7 interceptions, leads the league, going against a rookie quarterback who may not have Larry Fitzgerald. If Larry Fitzgerald doesn't play or is limited, obviously just make the Seattle defense an even better stream.
Absolutely. Seattle is a defense that you could stream this week. We'll tell you a couple of others a little bit later on in the show. Scott convinced me on a defense, guys, that for the last 2 years, I have been literally attacking in DFS. We'll tell you why. It's an interesting stream a little bit later on in the show. Scotty Leonard, you mentioned these ideas of like the DNPs on Wednesday. All we need, right, Scott, is like we need them from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to kind of trend in the right direction. If I see a DNP on a Wednesday, but then someone's like limited on Thursday and Friday, I think that means they're going to be out there, and I'm okay and comfortable with that. That's why I also say, Scott, anybody that like pops up on the injury report new on a Friday, that's a big-time concern, right? Because that's either a fresh injury that happened, or that means someone's trending in the wrong direction. We used to have like the probable, the questionable, all those distinctions. They changed the injury distinctions, I believe, 2 years ago, and now you got questionable really as like, the catch-all. So what you got to look at is the practice reports, and really if they're trending in the right direction or the wrong direction. You want to see a guy like Larry Fitzgerald go from DNP to limited throughout the week. Right, Scotty? That's how you got to read
it. Right. And you can't panic when guys are out on Wednesday. Julio Jones is like a good example. He's been taking Wednesdays off. DeAndre Hopkins, they want to give these guys a little bit of rest here. You can't panic about Wednesdays, Thursday, that's the day of concern. Friday, that's the day of panic as a guy does not practice at all. And, like you said, the questionable tab, it's you can't just look at it in a vacuum, like we've been saying. You have to add the color, and that's where, it's better that you read these reports, was limited, did not practice. That gives you more of the color that those questionable tags did not. Because there were a lot of times in the past where guys were questionable, and we didn't have any doubt that they would play.
Yeah, where I am panicking, Scott, it's kind of funny. All three, you, me, and Blewett, our Super Bowl picks, you know, are kind of in disarray right now. You know, your Houston Texans, we've talked about that offensive line and the problems there, right? Blewett picked the Atlanta Falcons, and they have gotten killed by injury, you know, especially on the back half. That's part of the reason I like some of the Bengals this week, okay, especially a guy like Tyler Eifert when you got, like, Deion Jones and both their safeties out. But I digress. My pick was the Chargers, okay? And my panic button is because, Scotty, there's a report I saw last week. Prime pass rusher Joey Bosa, they are now saying is going to be out until after the Chargers bye in week 9. They could have put him on IR for that, you know, with 8 weeks. They could have put him on IR to return. This is a huge blow. Part of the reason, Scotty, I loved the Chargers was because I thought they had the best pass rush combo in the league with Bosa and Melvin Ingram on the other side. They are now going to be without Bosa, it looks like, for half the season. If I knew that, I don't think the Chargers was going to be would have been my Super Bowl pick. That's a problem for the Chargers, Scotty. Joey Bosa, they think, is now going to be out until week 9. Damn.
Yeah, but that shouldn't change your Super Bowl pick necessarily. If he's back week 9, he's still there for the stretch run in the playoffs. You know.
Yeah, but I wanted them to be a 1 seed. I wanted them to get a bye. Maybe it hurts their regular season. I mean, Patty Mahomes is going to hurt
their bye. We've seen teams like the Steelers and the Giants, you know, win the Super Bowl from, what, the 6th seed? So I wouldn't overrate that. Necessarily.
But this is an impact, obviously, for the Chargers.
Oh, it's an impact. Right now, the Chargers have the 25th-ranked pass defense, you know, and that missing Joey Bosa has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, remember, they also lost Pro Bowl corner Jason Verrett, although they lose him every year. But those are two important people. Hey, Scotty, last thing I want to bring up here before we go to break. You know, you talk about Thursday night football, and we're going to preview Thursday night football, okay? We know the Rams cornerback situation is a problem. You talk about kind of the questionable tag, right, and how they trend in practice. Dalvin Cook has been trending, okay in practice. He got in, I think, a limited session. He is a real questionable, okay? Here's what I got to say, and me and Mike Blewett made this point last week. If you have someone like this in the Thursday night game, do not have him in your running back spot. Have him in your flex spot. You need to have these players in your flex spot. This way, if there is something that goes wrong, you have a bigger range of options in terms of like who you can replace them with. Just a note, you got to put these guys, if you can, in the flex spot, not in the running back spot, to give you additional flexibility. It looks like Dalvin Cook with that hammy is a true game-time decision. Right, Scotty?
Yeah. And although Adam Schefter was reporting that that they're confident that he will play tonight.
What do you think, though, about workload, man, especially going up against Sue and Donald? What do you think about that workload, though, Scotty?
Could be limited. I think you got to treat him like a flex play, just like you guys said.
All right, come on back. We're off and running. Roto Experts in the morning. Week 4 ranks from the King. Coming back.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boom!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
In the morning, the spitting statistician and El Rey de Fantasia. I gotta let people know, Scotty, here on a Thursday, that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. Use the promo code FNTSY because BetDSI is offering a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. Use that promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. That is betdsi.com. Scotty, we were going to get into your week four ranks, and we are going to do that. I want to make, though, a point. You were talking about, you know, we talked about yesterday how with the bye is coming, you know, this week, Washington and Carolina, only two teams. You're going to start seeing weeks with, you know, four teams, six teams on bye. So we were talking about how that creates opportunity, right? Other teams might be painted into a corner roster-wise and have to drop someone. One man's trash is another man's treasure. You were saying that's also somewhat the case when you're cutting injured players, right? If you're, if you have the ability to sustain the hit or take a one-week, you know, gap, you can take up an injured player if they get cut as well. Talk to me about cutting injured players, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions on Twitter and the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Slack chat about, okay, Evan Ingram's, he's hurt, you know, he's out, he could be up to four weeks, official reports are 2 to 4 weeks, inside injuries, it's saying 4 to 6, people are saying, oh, should I cut him, you know, and pick up Ian Thomas or something like that, or, you know, another tight end, and, you know, he's one prime example, but I'm getting questions about other players, too. It's, you know, you should not cut a guy just because he's hurt. You know, I've been getting a lot of Doug Baldwin questions over the last 2 weeks. Do I cut him? You have to have some patience. You can't look at everything in just a short-term window. Look, if you're in a 10-team league and you got to, you got to if you don't have a choice. But just don't go looking to cut injured players saying, oh, should I cut Baldwin? These guys are available on free agency. You know, you got to hold on to these guys. Well, you're going to cut a guy who's a borderline wide receiver one, or if he plays with injuries, at least a starting wide receiver, you know, just because he's hurt. You can't look at things in a reactionary short-term window. If these guys are going to be valuable to down the line, you have to hold on to them.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, I say it all the time to people on social media, and I feel bad because it's almost like I'm being condescending to them or yelling at them, you know, but I'm not telling people, like, patience is a virtue, and people are making such crazy ideas, you know, like, say, Chris Hogan, for example. You know, I get so many questions, should I cut Chris Hogan? And I'm like, no! Like, no, you should not. You know, Doug Baldwin, another prime example. Scotty, I know he's been banged up, but you probably spent, like, a third or fourth round pick on Doug Baldwin. I know you say that, like, you can't worry about, like, what you, you know, drafted him as, but I say that to mean, like, you know the guy's talent is there, and if there's reports he might be back this week, then, you know, we're talking about just a 1 week away until you have a guy who originally was thought of as a cusp wide receiver 1-2. So I completely agree with you, Scotty. People need to take the, you know, the long-term view on this stuff. I know everybody wants to be reactionary, but I can't stand it. I'm hearing so many people like, oh, this guy had a great week. You know, do I do this guy for him? And I'm like, yo, you got to calm down. So I completely agree with you, Scott. If people want to join the show and they want to get down, the number to call is 844-843-6879. Scotty, I'm looking at your week four ranks, okay?
What does that mean to get down, though? I don't understand. Does that mean to sit down or something?
It could.
I'm not familiar with your hip jargon.
Fair enough. But I could do the translation like Rosetta Stone from Ebonics to English. And when we say get down, I mean, you know, join the party. Have some fun with us.
Be part
of our crew. The number to call is 844-843-6879. Scotty, I'm looking at your week four rankings. I'm looking at the quarterback position. And you have Joe Flacco as a startable quarterback, even in 10-team leagues this week. You have him as QB10 going up against that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Don't look now. I own Joe Flacco in a Superflex league, you know, my two-quarterback league, and he's been pretty good, to be quite honest. There's 1 week he put up 370 yards. You know, he has more kind of options that he could spread the ball around to. It also looks like you may be attacking this Pittsburgh secondary and defense the same way Ryan Fitzpatrick did last week, the same way Patty Mahomes did 2 weeks ago. You have Joe Flacco as quarterback 10 on Sunday Night Football, Scotty.
Yeah, he's facing the 28th ranked defense and pass defense in the league, and no team in the AFC has given up more touchdown passes than the Steelers. They've given up 10 so far, and Flacco certainly hasn't been shy about putting the ball in the air. He's really working well with John Brown and Michael Crabtree. He even goes to his tight ends. And by the way, you know, if you're looking for tight end help, Hayden Hurst has been cleared
for
practice, and he could be back in a week, and Flacco really likes him. So, you know, get ahead of the game and pick up Hayden Hurst and start Joe Flacco this week.
I like that. I like that for sure. I like that. Like, my name is Kirk Cousins. Joe Flacco on the road at Pittsburgh. And you know Pittsburgh likes to put up points at home, too. So Joe Flacco and that offense are probably going to have to score to keep up.
You know, we've talked about some game stacks. If you're going to run out some multiple lineups, you should focus on Baltimore and Pittsburgh, too.
Interesting. Remember, this is Sunday Night Football, so make sure that game is even on the slate.
Yeah,
Scotty.
Forgot about that, yeah.
No, it's all good. Joe Flacco, yeah. You have high, right, at quarterback 10. Many people would be surprised to see that this week you have him ahead of someone who was drafted as one of the top three quarterbacks in a lot of leagues. I'm talking about Deshaun Watson in Houston. We've talked about his regression. We've talked about the offensive line. I believe that has caused him and his eyes. I think that is the biggest piece, unfortunately, and you know this, Scotty, the cardinal sin for a quarterback is to take your eyes from downfield to the rush. If you start seeing the rush, that is a big-time problem because you're missing open receivers. That's what we are seeing. You have Deshaun Watson outside of your top 12 as quarterback 13 this week, Scotty.
Yeah, I do. You know, this offensive line has been bad, much as you pointed out it would be. And the Indianapolis Colts have 10 sacks so far. And Pro Football Focus released a stat this morning where it showed that Deshaun Watson had the second lowest percentage in the NFL of all quarterbacks of hitting his open receivers.
Oh, wow. All right, so that is a problem. And here's the funny part. You know, you talk about hitting your open receivers. One of those receivers, Scott, is DeAndre Hopkins, who can literally catch anything. You know what I mean? So all you got to do is put it in the neighborhood for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, it'll work
out. I still like those receivers this week because, you know, Watson could have, say, a one touchdown, two interception day. And DeAndre Hopkins can still have 100 yards, and Will Fuller could still score a touchdown. So it's not always necessarily that just because I don't like the quarterback doesn't mean the receivers won't be ranked well.
Absolutely. So at the quarterback position, Scotty's diamond in the rough is Joe Flacco, and it's Fugazi, someone to forget about, is Deshaun.
Don't forget about Watson. Andy Dalton as a diamond in the rough.
Ooh,
either.
Talk to me about that one. I love him. I love him. Remember, I've been talking about this all week, Scotty. All right, this idea of, remember, and my narrative is this. They lose Keanu Neal. They lose Ricardo Allen last week. They've lost Deion Jones, not Deion James. Right. I'm going to continue making that mistake. Shout out to the former
Brave.
Yankee and Brave. Absolutely. There was an old video game that I used to play. It was like one of the old regular like Nintendo baseball games. And whatever year it was off of, you know, they used the stats from the previous year. There was one year, Scott, where Deion James hit like 320 or 330, something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like the number three hitter for the Yankees in this video game. So I always remember it. That game also had like Deion Sanders as a Yankee.
What was it, RBI baseball?
I think it might have been. They also had Deion Sanders as a Yankee. But I digress. You got to love those video games. We should do a bracket one time.
I love Tony La Russa baseball on the Genesis.
You know,
that was great.
Scotty, let's remember this. After the Super Bowl, right, in like February, March, when it's nothing but like NBA All-Star Weekend and stuff, let's do a bracket for best video game of all time.
Okay. That should be fun.
Cool. Yeah. Because you know I've done things.
Game, I guess.
You know I've done things like the best sports movie of all time, best TV show of all time with some of the brackets, and people have voted. It's been a lot of fun. Maybe best video game could be something we do. Let's file that one away. Let's look at the running back situation, Scotty. Scotty, I think we may have the subject of a gentleman's bet for us this week. You have been very high on Carlos Hyde. You have him as RB7 this week at Oakland. Now, I know he's been running well, 2 touchdowns last week, the proud papa, right, using that new dad strength maybe. Tell me why you have Carlos Hyde all the way up as RB7.
I think that the team is going to move, you know, under their rookie quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield is going to be able to move the ball against and then you have a rush defense that's allowing almost 117 rush yards per game. You know, Carlos Hyde has been a very safe play so far. He's been running hard. You know, until he gets hurt, you got to ride with him, you know, as a every week locked-in starter.
Right. It's this kind of thing, you know, he's the kind, same narrative. I think that's the big thing, right? Until he gets hurt, right? And that's the same thing we've said with guys like Tyler Eifert, with guys like Jordan Reed, you know, if they're healthy.
He's not as injury prone as those guys, but, you know, I know where you're going with this. The thing that also states is that, like, if you don't have one of the top six or seven running backs, everything after that is a crapshoot.
Mm. You also have Marshawn Lynch as a RB1 this week. In that same game, Scotty, you got Marshawn Lynch a few spots higher than the industry. Why are you high on Lynch? You have Lynch and Hyde as RB1s this week in that game.
Yeah, Lynch has been very, very reliable. You know, the Cleveland's run defense has been middling so far. They're right in the middle of the pack of 16th, though. But there's a floor for Lynch every week. It seems like about 50 to 60 yards and a touchdown. And they've been moving the ball. They're going to get him in position for scoring opportunities.
All right, so let's look at that game then. Cleveland Browns and the Oakland Raiders. I think this is a fascinating matchup, Scotty.
Yes.
You and I both do not like the Oakland Raiders. We think they are fugazi.
They're the winless team, not the Browns.
Exactly. They are the winless team, right? We've been all over the season-long under. I hope people listen to us with that under 8 wins because they are trending to you can cash that bet probably. But here's my thing, Scotty. You know, the Cleveland Browns get that win, their first win in about 2 years, right? Baker mania running wild on you, saying your prayers, eating your vitamins. The Oakland Raiders, though, are 2.5-point favorites, mostly because this game is in the black hole in Oakland. Scotty, are you taking the points here? You think the Cleveland Browns all of a sudden get on a win streak after not winning a game in 2 years? You think they could win two in a row? Or you think this is a real close game and you take the points? How do you see this game playing out? I'm liable to take the Browns outright. I think Baker mania is running wild all over me.
Yeah, I think they actually cover and lose by like 1 or 2 points here. This is going to be a tight game, but it's going to be dangerous because, you know, your rookie quarterback going on the road. And the Raiders are desperate for a win. They're playing at home. You know, they really need this victory. So I think they're going to find a way to pull it out. It could go either way. That's why the spread is what it is. I'm probably going to take the under as well. I don't know if there's going to be an incredibly high-scoring game here.
45 is the total.
I think it's moderate. I think it's just going to go under here. But, you know, going to the black hole is not a big deal anymore. I mean, the Raiders and the Cowboys, there has been franchises that haven't been good in 2 to 3 decades, depending on which one you talk about. America's team is now the Patriots, and the toughest team in football over the last few decades has been the Ravens and not the Raiders. But it's a lot to ask for a rookie quarterback.
Yes, quite specifically, you know, Scotty, that AFC North, you know, that AFC North between the Ravens and the Steelers and the Bengals, especially those three teams when they play each other, those games have been, to my good friend Jim Ross would say, a slobber knockers left and right. But Scotty, what about this? What about this, man? You know, we talk about Baker mania, and they got that win, right? But they were at home. There was incredible enthusiasm in that building last Thursday night. Everything from the Bud Light fridges being opened to, you know, Baker getting his chance. I think it's a very different thing for a rookie quarterback to go on the road and win, even against a winless team like Oakland.
Yeah, home road is a real thing, you know, in the NFL. You know, being at home and, you know, having that intangible there. Football is a game of emotion and adrenaline, so it means a lot. In the NFL, and you know, Jamal Adams went on a local radio station here in New York City and, you know, said that they weren't prepared for Baker Mayfield. They were only prepared for Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod.
And Todd Bowles, you know, kind of lit into him about it, and then he changed his statement. But I think what he originally said was true, you know, that maybe the Jets weren't prepped there. But, you know, home field advantage is a real thing in the NFL. You know, that's why, you know, teams want to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. It's not completely insurmountable, but it's definitely an advantage. And you know me being a Seahawks fan, you know, I know all about the home field advantage. Yeah.
Absolutely. Scotty, another running back you're much higher on than the industry, and I'm with you on this one. LeSean McCoy is your RB23. You have him 13 spots higher than the industry. Why do you think the industry's so low on McCoy? You think it's an injury concern?
I think it's an injury concern, but he is trending in the direction of playing. I think I actually have him a little low. If I know that he's going to play when I update my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com on Sunday morning, I think I'll push him up maybe 2 or 3 spots there. So I think a lot of the industry's ranking him low because they're just uncertain, and, you know, which is legitimate because he's got cracked rib cartilage. You know, the guy has had trouble breathing. So, you know, it's legitimate there, but let's see what Right now, my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com. I have him 23, like you say, but he could go up 3 or 4 spots depending on how he trends health-wise.
All right, I'm looking at some wide receivers real quick, and I have a proposition for you, Scotty, for our gentleman's bet of the week. You have 3 wide receivers in your kind of wide receiver 2 range that are much higher that you rank than the industry. You have Calvin Ridley as wide receiver 17 off his huge performance last week. In that same game, you have Tyler Boyd as wide receiver 18 off of his emergence last week. And they're in that game that we think has a high, we know has a high total, could be an interesting game stack, Cincinnati and Atlanta. You also have Mike Williams, Scotty, as wide receiver 20. Right? Coming off a you know, 2-touchdown performance, okay? You have all 3 of them as wide receiver 2s.
Yeah.
Scotty, what if I told you that I would take the side saying I bet 2 out of those 3 this week will be outside of the top 24, so not wide receiver 2s this week?
Yeah, I'd take that. You know, Calvin Ridley is going against Cincinnati's 24th-ranked pass defense. You know, and that game has a high applied total like you talked about. Tyler Boyd is going against the 26th-ranked pass defense. And Mike Williams is really a thing. San Francisco's now lost their only good cornerback in Sherman.
Sherman.
And they are 27th-ranked. And that team has given up 8 touchdown passes. So, Mike Williams, I'm looking for an easy visit to the end zone there.
All right, so because, you know, I want to find something with your diamonds and fugazis each week. You know, that other week there was Russell Wilson. You had a QB1. I said he was going to be outside the top 5, and then when he faced Chicago, that sort of thing. But that was more like the other quarterbacks that week. There were some ridiculous performances, some 30- and 40-point performances this week. So
that was one of the worst games of Wilson's career, so.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right. I am going to say that you have 3 guys in the wideout 2 conversation, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, and Mike Williams. I'm going to say no more than
Ridley
could
be outscored by Sanu, right?
I did say that. Not this week. I've said season long. Him or Hooper. If he outscores Hooper, I still win that gentleman's bet, though, Scotty. But I'm going to say only one of those guys are even inside the top 24. We'll make that gentleman's bet. We'll look at tight ends when we come back. Roto Experts in the morning. Dane and Scott.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Experts in the morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane and Scott making it happen on a Thursday as we kick off week 4. Yeah. Scotty's over there doing, I don't know what he's doing, CPR on himself or something like that.
No.
I want to let you guys
know. I'm grooving it.
Oh, you're getting down, right, Scotty? You're getting down?
Yes.
Is that it?
Get down, yes.
Get down with the get down. I got to let people know, Scotty, that they got to head on over to DailyRoto.com, the site that has produced $7 million winners. Click on the Go Premium tab. You'll get access to a line optimizer to help you compose your DFS rosters. But it also will give you all sorts of data you need in terms of, you know, money line picks, picks against the spread, game totals, player props, all great kind of info relying on the site where millionaires are made, quite literally. Go to DailyRoto.com and click on the tab Go Premium. Scotty, we were talking about your week 4 ranks. I want to look at the tight end position real quick. Guys that we've talked about earlier on in the week in terms of waiver wire ads, no surprise that you're higher on those 2 guys. Inside your top 10 this week, 2 guys we mentioned on Tuesday for waivers, Tyler Eifert and Vance McDonald. Talk to me about Tyler Eifert. He's healthy, right? He's one of those guys. He's healthy, so ride him out.
Yeah, it's a shootout. You know, Andy Dalton will be looking him in the red zone. And if you got to be sneaky in a DFS punt, I could see them using both tight ends. I would use CJ Uzomah as a DFS punt.
What if I told you, though, Scotty, and this may sound crazy to you because I was on that. What if I told you that on FanDuel, your boy CJ Uzomah is 4,700 and Tyler Eifert is 4,600?
Well, then I would use CJ Uzoma.
I saw that myself because I was on that same narrative. I have a DFS lineup right now where I have Andy Dalton as my quarterback and Tyler Eifert as my tight end, and I was so surprised to see that Uzoma is 4,700 and Tyler Eifert is 4,600. That's crazy, right, Scott?
It is. You know, you figure when Eifert's healthy, like Uzoma's shown up when Eifert hasn't been healthy, but I figure this offense could probably support two tight ends this week. You know, as far as Vance McDonald, there's no rhyme or reason yet. That's not why he's not in my top eight or so. But, you know, I think that Roethlisberger could be looking for him again. Of course, you know, Baltimore is not going to be an easy draw necessarily. But I think he's going to be looking for him. But the Ravens have the best pass defense in the AFC. That's something that you have to be concerned about a little bit.
Absolutely. Hey, Scotty.
They've only allowed four touchdown passes.
That's interesting. Okay, so we will keep our eye out on that. I do think Big Ben, though, at home, will get into the end zone via the pass.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be a shootout. Sometimes you got to buck the trend a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, buck the trend with Buck Allen, for example, and you have Joe Flacco in your top 10 as well, so kind of supporting that narrative. Scotty, I just told you that I'm going with a little Andy Dalton, Tyler Eifert stack this week in DFS, but you wanted to mention a point about stacking not only in DFS, but in season-long leagues as well.
Yeah, you know, I had one user yesterday in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Slack chat, which is open 24 hours. You can always chat with me, Chris Mitchell, George Kurtz, Dom Cinerino. We're always there to answer your questions, Brandon Murchison. And, you know, somebody would say, look at my lineup this week. You know, I have Matt Ryan, Gio Bernard, Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley. Look at the lineup for this week. You know, people are trying to, you know, I guess wheel and deal or work the waiver wire to run the same seasonal lineups that they would DFS.
It's a different game.
it's a very risky proposition because some of these guys you may not want for the longer term, and it could be coincidental just for this week. If you're going to wheel and deal and trade every week, though, it's going to be tough because at some point the trading deadline is going to pass and you're not going to be able to do it anymore.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Scotty. A lot of people are, you know, you see DFS now, and everyone almost thinks their season-long team is DFS. The recency bias, the reactionary moves, you know, that has a home in DFS. But in season-long, it's a little bit of a higher-stakes game if you kind of rob Peter to pay Paul. But real quick, though,
I don't want to digress too much, but talking about trades, I made two yesterday.
Oh, talk to me.
You know, I lost Garoppolo in one league where I'm very, very deep at running back. So I acquired Jared Goff for Dion Lewis.
Then
in another two quarterback league, I got a very interesting trade offer, you know, pushed across the table to me yesterday. You know, I woke up and I looked at my inbox and somebody was offering me in a two quarterback league, Eli, Odell Beckham Jr. and Jamal Williams for Tyler Boyd, Kerryon Johnson and Andy Dalton. So I said to myself, you know, Dalton and Eli is a wash. I said, so I'm trading Tyler Boyd and Kerryon Johnson to essentially here, you know, Jamal Williams means nothing to me, to get Odell Beckham. And I can't pass on that. So I hit accept, and, you know, now I got DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham in that league.
That's the thing. And when you look at, Scotty, like 3-for-3 trades or these kind of things like that, I look at who is the best player in the deal overall.
Yes,
and in that one, clearly the answer is Odell Beckham. You know, I mean, I say this all the time. You know, you are looking, if you are a good manager, right, and you're going to be in the playoffs, you are looking to create a roster that has the most, like, top-notch, week-winning potential dudes, you know, for weeks 14, 15, and 16. Exactly. Did you say youths? You are looking to accumulate guys that can win weeks for you and be studs. Because when you come to the playoffs, you're going to need to put up 160, 170 to advance, you know? And so Odell Beckham is one of those guys who can do it. I like that trade a lot. Scotty, we don't have much time. I want to talk about defenses. We told people we'd give a couple defenses to stream. And there are two this week that are off the radar. You would have never thought about them, you know, when you're just looking at names of teams and you think they're actually bad defenses sometimes, but you have two defenses in your top eight this week, higher than the rest of the industry. I think you're attacking I think you're attacking offensive line play, to be quite honest. The Indianapolis Colts at 7 and the Detroit Lions at 8. Talk to me about those two defenses and why you're comfortable starting them this week.
One of the two of them is attacking the offensive line. Indy has played
Indianapolis
better than
people
expect. You know, the rookies and the young guys are making an impact. They have 10 sacks, and they're facing the worst offensive line in the business. It's a divisional game. Deshaun Jackson is not playing well. Deshaun Watson is not playing well.
Yep.
And although Jackson didn't play well last week, so I'm not totally incorrect there. But, you know, I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game here, and I really like the Colts here. You know, I think you got to throw your preseason conceptions out the window. As for the Lions, you know, it's not about the offensive play. It's about keeping the score down. You know, if you're looking at that, you got to look for sacks and interceptions first. But Detroit has the best pass defense in the NFL, and Dallas has no receivers. Now, you skew it the other way. Detroit also has the worst run defense in the NFL. So, sometimes it gets skewed that way. But Ezekiel Elliott's going to get his. But still, you know, they might only still score about 14 points.
Right. No, I hear that. One thing I do want to check on that is Big Play Slay healthy? Wasn't he banged up a little bit, Darius Slay?
He played last week, and he had an interception. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. No, I just thought he got banged up, you know, and I don't keep my attention, admittedly so, as much on the IDP.
Even if he doesn't,
like
if he doesn't play, like, it,
that's right,
the Dallas,
right.
The Dallas path,
who's dangerous, right, out of the wide receivers,
is the worst in the NFL. Their best receiver is Tavon Austin.
I know, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I'm trying to get ahead of it with the Dallas wide receivers. Scotty, if you were to predict, you know, we know the Tavon Austin, and it's funny, I did say that in the preseason. I was like, listen, they have no other weapons. They could try to use Tavon Austin. I don't think he's startable or rosterable, really, even. But keep an eye out on that. But, Scott, if you had to predict, like, we're in week four, right? If you had to predict in week 13, who's leading the Dallas Cowboys receivers in catches this year?
Alan Hearns,
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley, he's going to play. He played through it last week. And right. He just gets no yardage. I forget the stat was. He hasn't gone over 60 receiving yards in a game.
All right, so a better question. Who leads
them
in receiving yards? Who leads them in receiving yards, Scott? Alan Hearns? Deontay Thompson?
Beasley catches so many passes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's crazy to me that they have absolutely no weapons left.
I want to research the stat of, like, you know, what's the lowest yardage for a leading receiver on a team all time, because, you know, Dallas may challenge it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kelvin Benjamin may as well, if you want to know the truth. But we shall see.
I'll take Benjamin over Beasley.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Also because, you know, Zeke Elliott is going to get so many yards, you know, for that offense.
Yeah.
But in any event, Scotty, week four starts tonight. And what I think is a great game, Scotty, you know, sometimes they put, like, you know, dumpster fires of games because if it's the standalone game, you know, they'll get ratings anyway. In years past, we saw those Color Rush Titan Jaguars games on Thursday night when nobody cared. But that is not the case tonight. Okay, Scotty, the Rams and the Vikings, many people believe, could be a playoff preview. The Rams look absolutely strong. The Bills, you know, beat Minnesota, so Minnesota is a little bit fired up. We know there's some injuries on both sides. Dalvin Cook on one, you know, Aqib Talib on the other. This line just moved a little bit. It was 7 yesterday, Scott. The Rams are now 7.5-point favorites over on mybookie.ag. At home on Thursday night, the short week, I know the Rams offense has been absolutely killing it, but this Minnesota Vikings defense is a step up in class for them. Minnesota's coming in angry, coming off their embarrassing loss to Buffalo. I got
to
tell you this, Scott. I think the Rams could lose themselves too, though.
You're not totally correct there.
That's true. I like the Rams as much as anybody. But 7.5 points is too many points for me to give for Minnesota. I think Minnesota can keep it close. I'm going to take Minnesota plus 7.5. Where are you leaning in this game?
I'm taking Minnesota not only to cover but to win this ball game. Because
outright.
Without their two top corners and their linebackers are not that good, the back seven of the Rams all of a sudden becomes very, very vulnerable. And you're just talking about the defensive front. Now, right now, they rank 9th in pass defense, and they've only given up 2 touchdown passes. But there's a big difference without those top cover corners. You know, they're 9th against the run. I don't think they'll be able to run against them. But I think Kirk Cousins is going to rebound in a big way, tonight. When you got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs going against a team without its top two corners, you know, even the average fan can see, you know, that's something to exploit. This game has essentially become a very good offense against a very good defense. And give me the defense every time when these kind of matchups happen.
Yep, I'm with you, Scotty. I got to ask you two follow-up questions. You just said, though, in this analysis, I want to be clear. Do we know Marcus Peters is out tonight?
Yes. Well, it's certainly looking, for every report I've seen, he's not expected to play tonight.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I saw something earlier in the week where they said he has not been ruled out just yet.
He hasn't been ruled out, but it's unlikely that he's going to play tonight.
Okay. Fair enough. I just wanted to make sure that we have the same information here. So let me ask you this then, Scotty. We make our three picks, you know, in our kind of little contest ourselves, where you are one game below 500 at 4-5. I'm right there with you at 500. Our guy Mike Blewett is ahead of the field. He's at 6-3. My question is Minnesota plus the 7.5?
You said I'm 4-5 and you're at 500. How is that possible?
No, I'm 4-5 as well. I said right around 500.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You can only be, with nine picks, you can only be 4-5 or 5-4, right? Around 500. So we're both right there around 500. Mike Blewett, though, he's got a two-game lead on us. He's 6-3. My question, though, is we make our big three official picks on tomorrow's Football Friday show. My question is, though, you sound pretty confident on this one. You like Minnesota to win outright. Do you want to make Minnesota plus 7.5 one of your official three picks for week four?
Nope.
No. Okay. Fair enough. You were strong on it, so I wanted to give you the
maybe
option.
Top five for me, but not top three.
Okay, we will get Scotty's picks on that tomorrow. We'll get my picks, you know, against the spread, some totals. I'm searching for ones this week, Scotty. I got to tell you the truth. I'll be looking at those today to see which ones I'm most solidified on. Scotty, this total is pretty high, 49.5 at last check for this game. These are two pretty good defenses, though. I know the Rams' offense has been lights out, you know, and Minnesota
Rams Kirk Cousins. Is the Rams pretty good defense? I don't know about that.
Listen, I mean, they're still, you know, on paper they are. I know they're without their tough secondary. But, I mean, you know, Sam Shields is not horrible stepping in there. But 49.5. So you're going to take the over? You're going to take the over on this game?
I'm going to take the under here. You know.
So you're talking to me about, they're a good defense. But ultimately you're going to take the under.
I think it's going to just hit the under there.
Okay.
I don't think the Rams are going to be able to roll up a lot of points either. You know,
All right, so give me a prediction.
Thing.
What are we talking here? What are you talking here? You what, 27-24, something like that?
24-20
I guess that would be 24-20 Minnesota. That would be a total of 44. And the under, 24-20. That's I like that, Scotty. I don't know. I'm on the fence on this game, you know, because for me, I always, all other things being equal, I always want to lean to the home team on Thursday Night Football. I really do. I think that's a trend that matters on the short week. These guys are in car accidents every Sunday, and then asking them to recover and travel like that, I think, is always a big deal. So I like the Minnesota plus 7 for sure. I agree with you. It's a tough game. I understand their defense in L.A. is a little bit different with their secondary. But this Rams offense is just too impressive for me to be stopped right now. So I'm going to go the other way on this game. I would take the points with Minnesota. I like even your score, though. I'll just go the other way. Give me, you know, this total is 49.5. Give me 27-21 to also be right under. Give me 27-21, but I'm going to go the other way with the Los Angeles Rams to remain undefeated. But regardless, that means we got a good game on our hands, right, Scotty? So I'm going to be excited to see it, all right? And tomorrow we got a full-on Football Friday. We'll make our picks. We'll break down Thursday Night Football. I'll give you a DFS lineup. Hey, Scotty, real quick, though, you know about the game stacks, right? And we were talking about a sneaky stack with the Saints and Giants game. How do you feel? I had enough money to put Alvin Kamara and Saquon Barkley as my two running backs in this DFS lineup, you know, because I'm stacking Dalton and Eifert, right? I found some other values, some cheap wideouts. Our boy Galladay is only 5,800 this week, so I'm getting him in. He's the cheapest of all the Lions wide receivers.
I don't know if I like him against Dallas. That game's going to be low scoring. But, you know, you bring up an interesting point, though. You know, you always have to have complementary guys to your stacks. And, yep. You know, I think Mike Williams is one of those best guys as a complimentary, type of wide receiver this week. I'm hearing a lot of talk about the Bears, though, because they're facing Tampa Bay. And we talk about opportunity doesn't always lead to production. It's still Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. I know the matchup is good, but, you know, I'm not running any Bear stacks or you know, like rolling any Bears out there. I don't know if they can take advantage of a good matchup.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. I like the Bears defense. I'll tell you that.
The
Bears defense this week.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic will throw some picks, and it will get to him. But I hear you. That would be, like, the best play, in my opinion, the Bears defense. Unless you think Jordan Howard is a volume play. But I saw you had him as an RB2 this week. I say Kamara and Barkley because – But combined, do you think Barkley and Kamara can catch, 25 balls together this week?
It's possible.
All right, so we'll see. We'll do DFS. We'll do our official week 4 picks tomorrow. Have a great day, Scotty. Roto Experts in the morning.
You too.